The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Going with a team defense that gave up 5 touchdowns last week? Not smart, but using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Happy Wednesday to you and yours. Field Yates, Mike Clay, sitting in for Matthew because it's a Wednesday, and Stefania back and better than ever. Good morning to you both.
Are you better than ever?
I'm better than I was Monday. Yeah, how's that?
Well rested.
Yeah.
Plenty of information for Starfania.
That's right.
And so much more. We've got a lot to get to today on the podcast, including a live read competition. I am challenging Starfania to a live read contest, as well as plenty of rankings talk. It is rankings day here on the podcast. A really busy Tuesday, but not as much on the news front on Wednesday. We've got some clarity, though, and we'll begin in Green Bay, Stefania, where Geronimo Allison officially placed on injured reserve because of a groin injury suffered last Thursday in practice.
Right. Now he's having core muscle surgery. This is, again, just a reminder. I think we talked about this with Marshawn Lynch, didn't we? When Marshawn Lynch got hurt, I said, don't be surprised. We heard he was consulting with a specialist. I said, you know, he'd had core surgery in the past and explained how the groin muscles are part of that core. And sure enough, that's the case for Geronimo Allison. So potentially for the Packers, from a real football perspective, if they make it to the playoffs, potentially he's somebody who could return in the postseason. But for all your fantasy purposes, he is done for the year.
Yeah, he is literally done for the regular season in real or fantasy purposes. The way the short-term IR designation works, the Packers could not bring him back. And that's assuming they don't bring back anybody else until the playoffs, I should say.
Right.
That's assuming they don't utilize those two spots on somebody else. It brings some clarity, and it gets us into Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Randall Cobb, which we'll discuss later on during the rankings conversation, but certainly a name, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, that I imagine will see his roster percentage spike. Now, the almost news of the day yesterday could become news today, but here's where we are at right now. When we are recording this podcast, or if you're watching us live on Twitter, you know that Dez Bryant worked out for the Saints on Tuesday, as well as Brandon Marshall and Kamar Aiken, most recently of the Philadelphia Eagles. None of them has been signed, and it sounds like Marshall and Aiken are not going to be signed. But it sounds as though there is a glimmer of hope, and perhaps more than that, as it pertains to Bryant and New Orleans. If it's 12:30 after we go off the air, Mike, and we see a breaking news tweet from Adam Schefter that Dez Bryant has agreed to terms with the New Orleans Saints, the first thing you do is what?
You go ahead and add him on waivers. I'm going to get him on my bench. I mean, I think 10-team leagues, especially with so many teams on a bye, we have 4 on a bye this week, we have more 6-week byes coming up. You might need those spots, certainly. So like maybe a 10-teamer, an 8-teamer, you don't have to do it. But I certainly think that you should be looking to, and a 12-plus teamer, I would get him on my bench as well. And there's a few reasons for that. The big one is this guy named Drew Brees, who's a pretty good quarterback. His offense is pretty good. Yeah. He's a new young and up-and-comer. But they score a lot of points in that offense, get a lot out of their wide receivers. And there's a reason they're looking at receivers, right? It's a serious question mark area. Michael Thomas is fantastic, obviously. Tre'Quan Smith is a rookie who they've used just a little bit, as not fully broken out how he hoped. And then Cameron Meredith, he's been running from the slot, but he has not been targeted at all over their past 3 games. So I'm interested to see if he comes in there, how they deploy him. We know that most of his career, actually, you look at the numbers in his career, 812 of his 930 targets have come on the perimeter. 71 of his 75 touchdowns have come outside on the perimeter. But we do see Tre'Quan Smith and Michael Thomas rotated into the slot. They moved guys around a lot in New Orleans. So just because he's a perimeter guy and so are Smith and Thomas, I think that's okay. They'll find ways to work all these guys into the offense, and he can get 5-6 targets in a great offense.
So again, Mike believes that if he is signed by the Saints today, he is worth a speculative add in any size league. Stefania, I kind of wonder if the interest in Dez Bryant is not an indictment, but tied to the health of Cameron Meredith, who we know had some serious knee concerns that made the Bears feel as though he was expendable.
Right. I mean, the Bears were like, okay, we're done. The Saints were interested, and I get it, you know, because if he return to what they hoped he could be. He provided an option for them that they really didn't have. And to the credit of everyone, he's made it on the field. And at times he's had these flashes where, and he's certainly been functional in a very limited role, but he continues to be on the injury report. It's obviously a maintenance issue for him. It's a multi-ligament knee injury that it's always a big deal. And maybe this is, you know, they don't have explosiveness out of it. You know, he's not going to beat a lot of guys down the field right now. And maybe you're right. I agree with you. I think this is where Dez Bryant could fit in, sort of taking that role. But I don't, it's very interesting because if Dez Bryant doesn't get the volume or the attention that Dez Bryant thinks he deserves, will that become problematic for the Saints?
We'll see. I mean, certainly you don't want to upset the apple cart too much right now with a tremendous locker room, a tremendous roster. You know, one thought I have is depending on how aggressive and competitive your league is, do you think there's been enough smoke here that you would just go ahead and add Dez Bryant right now? Because right now, before he's even signed?
Yeah, I had a lot of leagues, including ESPN leagues, mostly will clear last night, right? So I placed some claims.
Right,
yeah,
so
I,
it wouldn't cost you anything necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a couple bucks, sure. But and I, he might I, be I, out there right now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
No, I was just going to say, and for, you know, if some folks who are dealing with injury, you need somebody, you might still have a buy on the horizon if he's there and you thought you could plug
get
him in as a
right
what the
now.
Heck flyer. Look, if I'm Dez Bryant and I have no job right now, going to a winning team where I have not been on a winning team for most of my career, I have a chance to go to the playoffs. I would think I'm going to tone it down and just be really focused on doing whatever I can to help the team and be like that good teammate. And I would think if you do that and you earn Drew Brees' trust and respect, then potentially when it's fantasy playoff time, that could be paying dividends for us.
I'm looking at some of my leagues right now. Dez Bryant, long gone.
Oh, no.
Long gone.
Field's about to break news.
Yeah, Dez Bryant.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay, I have an answer potentially.
We're getting a ton of questions within the Twitter stream of what level of player are you comfortable dropping for Dez Bryant? And I know that's all about roster construction and how your league is built, but
yeah,
do you guys have a couple of names that we could go through that you would feel comfortable with when it comes to wide receivers? We're pulling up on the screen here. Kyle's got a handful of pass catchers.
I was going to go to my ranks tool right now. Would you drop, for example, Quincy Enunwa, who's rostered in a decent number of leagues?
I'd probably give Enunwa one more week there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because of the volume he saw early in the season. But
would you drop Quincy Enunwa? Would you drop Taylor Gabriel?
No.
Okay.
Too many. Yeah.
Nelson Aguilar.
Yes. No question.
Chris Godwin. I'm just going through names.
Not Godwin.
I'm keeping Godwin.
Chris Godwin, you're keeping. Would you drop Tyrell Williams?
Yes.
Okay.
Not enough volume there.
Any Jaguars wide receiver? D. Westbrook. Keelan Cole.
Yeah.
Cole, I drop. Moncrief, I drop. Dee's close. I think he could be a second year. He's a close one.
It just, again, not enough consistency in Jaguars receiving core for me.
Any 49ers wide receiver?
Stop.
No, I'm not being serious.
I'm not getting rid of Marquise Goodwin. We've only had, this could be the beginning of Nick Mullins having the team for the rest of the time, and we only saw one game. So I'm not getting rid of him. But everybody else is probably up for grabs.
Okay. Yep, I agree with that.
I think that gives you an idea of where we're at with wide receivers.
Can I give you three more names?
Sure, you can give me seven more.
If you want.
Don't say Kenny Golladay.
A bunch of people within the chat are talking about this. Mike Williams from the Chargers.
You could drop him.
It would pain me.
Yeah.
But yes.
I would lean toward Dez.
Chris Thompson, running back from the Redskins.
Thompson.
No way.
Definitely
no.
Thompson.
Okay, what about Tre'Quan Smith? Same team.
No.
I'd keep Tre'Quan.
I'd lean Tre'Quan. Yeah.
Okay. What about Courtland Sutton? Last one.
No.
Sutton. Heck keep no. Sutton. Keep Sutton.
What all? Heck. It's a fan.
I was waiting. Right,
that's fair.
Someone asked about Golladay.
No one asked about Golladay. We did have a Devontae Parker question. You would drop Devontae Parker for
only because his volume has been going up lately.
Miami's
a mess.
But Parker's fooled me so many times, man.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Doug Martin?
Martin, I'd keep.
I'd keep Doug Martin.
Volume. You guys are looking at me like I'm making
Don't
names up. These are real names that are coming up in the chat. I'm not making stuff up. So,
hey Field, do you mind? I'm gonna jump in here real quick.
Go ahead, Daniel.
So we've had a couple of people. You know, we've talked back and forth about who's the best on the show at Live Reads.
Yeah.
No, brother.
I want to settle this right here,
what
right
I said,
now
we're
today.
We're gonna have a competition. Let's do it.
I say we do this.
Because right. Matthew's not here because we know he. Not
we
even
know that
in
Matthew's not even in the running. He's not even considered in this
and
conversation.
And we know I'm the best, so I get a bye week.
You get to be able, yeah. Included. You're in next week. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a 23andMe live read. We're gonna do one now. We're gonna do one a little bit later in the show. I'm gonna start with Stefania.
Ladies first, as they say, right?
Stefania, actually, I'm gonna give you the option. Do you want to let Field go first so you can see how bad he does it and know that you've got a smooth victory at the end, or do you want to set the bar so Field's shaking in his boots?
No, I'll set the bar.
Go ahead, Stefania.
And by the way, I wish you hadn't told me this was a contest until after I'd done it, because now I'm under pressure. Yeah.
That's all right.
Cooler under pressure.
That's okay. You got the guns out, so you know it's going to be a good one.
Those are half sleeves,
dude. Oh, you're right. That's true. Half sleeves. We're going to put up a poll at the end. Once we get done with the second live read, it's going to run through the rest of the day for everyone to be able to vote at Fantasy Focus. You can go there. You can vote on who's the better live reader, Field Jason or Stefania Bell. So, Stefania, go ahead and take it away.
So much pressure.
Do you want me to not look at you? Would that be?
Yeah. Like kids, don't look at me. 23andMe. That's what we're talking about today, folks. 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you are likely to be lactose intolerant, pay attention, Mike, and more. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. You get sleep reports. The deep sleep report tells you if you are more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The saturated fat and weight report, where's Matthew? He needs to hear this, tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet, and offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you are trying to eat less saturated fat. The lactose intolerance report sheds insight into how your genetics may affect your ability to digest dairy products. Order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 2323andMe.com/FFF.
Wow, that was good. Pretty good. Also, I like the subtle shot at Matthew. Well, it wasn't even a subtle shot at Matthew. It was just a straight shot.
It wasn't subtle at all.
We know he downloads. He should be listening.
It was subtle only in the sense that sometimes when other people are doing live reads on the show, I tune out because I'm not a good teammate. So I happened to catch it in the back of the cranium, and then I was like, oh, that was funny. She just made fun of Matthew. She made it funny. Well done right there. Hey, by the way, if you have Twitter questions, tweet at Fantasy Focus. We want to hear them. We want to answer them later on in the show after we do our rankings talk, which is where we get to.
And while you're there, vote for me in the poll.
And the poll's not yet, Stefania. No. That's a sandbagger move by you. That's such a Matthew move. Wow. Tom Brady plays
the Tennessee Titans. We have to fill in for him in every capacity when he's not here. Yeah. So,
well, Mike's computer died yesterday in Matthew's seat. Like, I'm telling you, that seat is cursed.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and the Patriots go to Tennessee to play the Titans. The Titans have been fantastic defensively this year. Not talking fantasy football, but talking real NFL statistics. They are the number one scoring defense in the NFL this year. Stefania, as probably from muscle memory, if not anything else, has Tom Brady at 5th in her rankings this week. Mike has him at 14. I've got him at 9 to split the difference.
Mike hates Tom Brady.
Mike, you really are benching Tom Brady on a week where four teams are on a bye.
Yeah, you're not going to make it into Tom Brady's Instagram.
Yeah, I'm well known to be biased against the Patriots, I guess. I don't know. That's what I'm hearing early on this
Eagles
week.
Fan.
So, yeah, that must be what it is. So, here's my case against Brady. I mean, a couple things in play here. First of all, the state of the offense. Okay. They've been a pass heavy offense for most of the past decade, certainly the past four seasons. They're calling it balanced offense this season. So that's one. Okay. Next up is you look back since week four, 50% of their offensive touchdowns have been runs. And sometimes that can be fluky, right? It's not a fluke. They are the most run-oriented offense in the NFL near the goal line. That's key, too. That's going to take touchdowns off the board for Tom Brady.
What's the number there? Do you know that number offhand?
What's that?
So they're the run-heaviest offense at the goal line.
Well, it's based on percentage. So I look at OTD, right? So I value every single touch based on how close it is to the end zone, what the odds are of scoring a touchdown. So it's something like 53% should be there. Their rush touchdown number. It's
right
in that vicinity. And they're 50%, so it's almost the same. Most teams are going to be in the mid-60s
right
in that area.
So okay.
Very run-oriented. How about Brady, just in terms of how he's done in fantasy this season? He's only had 3 top 10 weeks and 9 tries so far. That's a 33% rate. Some quick math there. That is 17th best at the position. So he's only 17th in putting up top 10 fantasy weeks. He's QB 12 on the season in total points, and that's without a bye. So he's played 9 games. A lot of those guys have played 8. And then finally, you mentioned the Titans defense. 14 touchdowns allowed this season. That is lowest in the NFL. The best quarterback finished this week against Tennessee is 10th. So there's a lot in play here. And if I'm sitting there objectively, not just giving him the, what do you want to call it, the Tom Brady bump, the great player, the Hall of Fame player bump, and just looking at what we've seen through 9 weeks in the season, it's hard for me to rank him as a top 10 play. I may look dumb if he comes out and he pulls a Tom Brady on the road and throws 4 or 5 touchdowns. Would not shock me, but it's hard to overlook all this evidence.
This stuff is difficult to quantify, but there's a team that plays a lot of primetime games, and of course the Patriots, they are one of them. You have a longer memory of various plays throughout the season that you say, like, if they had just connected here or there, you might have a different story, a different narrative. And I think to last week, 2 separate Josh Gordon near touchdown catches. Josh Gordon in previous games against the Chiefs, for example, a near touchdown catch. Gronk being thrown fades in the end zone that come up a little bit short. Heck, last week when Tom Brady and the Patriots had the ball first and goal from the 1, and I'm convinced they're going to go for the Tom Brady sneak, the right. Vintage Tom Brady play. And I'm like, if any of those connect, the Brady narrative feels a little bit different. But Mike, the numbers are the numbers. Stefania, you're leaning on, I'm assuming, this, like, I don't know, 18-year track record of him being pretty darn good.
Yeah, and part of it, we were talking about this before the show, is tiers. You know, we've got these quarterbacks who are in the top tier, and Brady's always in the top tier, and just the consistency factor for him, I think, is one thing for me, but it's also some of the teams they faced. In terms of Tennessee's defense, when you look at who they've played against, you wonder if some of their good numbers are the fact that they've been against Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Flacco, Bortles, Allen. I mean, look, maybe they have had what is it that I wanted to say? They have had solid games against the pass. Like, I think that New England could go to a run game, particularly if they get up big early, and that definitely hurts you. But I just think in terms of consistency, a lot of when I'm choosing, like, how to write, is the floor going to be there for me? And I always feel like the floor is there for Tom Brady. Like, I'm not worried about him. Even Kirk Cousins this week, how many fantasy points did he up with? 5.3? Or 6.3. I don't know.
That feels like a pot shot because I started him, Stefania. Thank you.
No. I started him. You traded him to me in the War Room League. I started him. But I'm saying, like, we haven't seen Tom Brady have that kind of output. You're always consistently going to get some kind of fantasy production from Tom Brady. So I feel better about keeping him in my top 10 than you do.
It's a floor thing for Stefania. It's how the Titans have done against quote-unquote elite quarterbacks so far this year. Here's a question from Ed Furster, who asked via Twitter, who would you rather have for the rest of the season, Tom Brady or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Not close. Ryan for me.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a total pass, because it's an air attack. Yeah. So you know you're going to get passing yardage. Right, right, right.
He's terrific.
Yeah. He is playing arguably better than he did 2 seasons ago.
No, I don't think
he's MVP season.
No, he definitely looks like the guy he did before he went into the guy he was last year.
Right. Yeah. He has been awesome. Let's go to Ben Roethlisberger, who of course plays on Thursday night. We'll have more on this matchup during our Thursday preview podcast, but now it's the opposite. Mike is a little bit higher. I'm the highest on Ben at 7. Stefania's lowest at 13. So Stefania, your concerns stem from this Carolina defense.
Yeah. And I know they haven't been great lately, but, here's a stat for you. 4th in interception percentage, Carolina D is. Ben Roethlisberger has been known to throw a few picks in his time. I think that Ben is shocking us with road Ben.
Yeah.
I know this is home Ben, but I just don't see the concern. I don't trust Ben the way you guys do.
Mm.
And I think that he will throw some picks against Carolina, so that's what I'm going for.
I think with Ben Roethlisberger and me, it comes down to this. No one's attempting more passes per game than Roethlisberger at 43. Flacco, I think, has the most, but they've not yet had their bye that
even
comes this weekend.
Even more than Andrew Luck.
But Big Ben throwing a league-high 43 passes per game. The Panthers have allowed multiple touchdown passes in 6 of 8 games this season. And we were just talking about how when the Patriots got in close, they've been relying so heavily on the running game. The Steelers have enough in their playbook that surrounds the plus 10 and in, which is when you're on the opponent's 10-yard line and in, where they're throwing, even if it's a little like scoop or
shovel
passes.
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. Some
James
of those
Connor,
that count as passes really feel like run plays because you got James Conner in there.
Well, the good news is they count for fantasy points. So that helps my argument here. I just think at home, this Carolina defense doesn't scare me enough to feel like I should shy away from Ben Roethlisberger, who he talked about has been really solid on the road. But at home, you know, he's sort of usual Ben Roethlisberger. So, Mike, care to weigh in here?
Yeah, you know what? I'm in the middle here, so I was going to play both sides and let you just pick the facts out, but I just came away with a lot of positives here in my research here. So
first of all,
home Ben. I mean, it's home Ben. I mean, that's super important. We know that he's elite at home and more closer to average on the road. Bless
elite.
You.
Thank you.
He's finished
elite.
Top 12 in 5 of 8 outings so far this season. Believe it or not, the Steelers offense averaging 3.4 touchdowns per game. That is fifth best in the NFL, but the highest by far of the Big Ben era. By far, they're averaging more touchdowns per game than they have during his career. By the way, the Panthers, you kind of touched on this a little bit, how many touchdowns they've allowed. They've actually allowed 2+ passing touchdowns in 7 consecutive games. So you'll like that for Ben, who throws the ball plenty, of course. And he has a great supporting cast. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the offseason talking about this. If you count offensive line and guys he has to throw the football to, maybe the best in the NFL. And that's even without Le'Veon
Just
Bell.
Just going to say, no Le'Veon Bell, you're still
great,
doing that? Wow.
Yeah, so I like the situation here at home.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Fitzmagic, if you choose to call him that, plays Washington this weekend. I've got him at 10. Mike has him all the way up at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Mike,
the magic
makes
is
the
real.
Case for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, did he only watch the first half last week or something? He came out cold and lit it up in the second half. I mean, we all have liked him when he started this season. I mean, after his first couple of games. So yeah. I see no reason not to again this week. I mean, let's look a little closer. I'll start with the Washington defense. They've allowed 4 top 10 outings to quarterbacks over their past 5 games. They've allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks during that span. So over the past 5 weeks, the most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They've really struggled after a good start. You look at Fitzpatrick's 4 full games this season. He's finished 1st, 6th, 8th, and 6th, and has 3 touchdowns or more in all of those games. The efficiency's been good. 18 total touchdowns, 7 picks. He's completed 2/3 of his passes, 9.7 yards per attempt. And oh yeah, adds 103 rushing yards as well. We talked about this again last week, just to update from this past game. 4th in plays is the Tampa Bay offense. 3rd pass heaviest, 4th in touchdowns per game at 3.5 per game, and 82% of their offensive touchdowns have been passes. That is 4th highest. Everything is set up for a quarterback to have success in this offense, and he's the guy right now.
I wanted to have Ryan Fitzpatrick ranked higher, and I mean, I've got him at 10, so I'm still saying you should start him. The causes for concern are just the implosions and the mental
That's
errors,
fair.
Right?
That's fair.
Because over his last
he
three
just happens
games,
to have fewer than Jameis.
Right, his last 3 starts, here's his lines, right? He completes 60% of his passes. Now he threw 50 of them, so he still threw 400 plus yards. But he also had 3 interceptions. The next game he gets benched after 0 touchdowns and 1 pick at halftime in that Bears game. And in this past game against Carolina, he throws 2 picks, he completes 60% of his passes, and he was awesome in the second half, but he was, you know, an
but
abomination
you're penalized,
the first half, right?
In fantasy, you're penalized for that. Do you know, in terms of interceptions, the only quarterbacks ahead of him, Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, CJ Beathard, and Ryan Tannehill. That's a lot of negative points.
It's really,
and it's all relative,
he makes up
right?
For, yeah.
I know you, and he does, but you know, Washington allowing just 2.6 deep completions per game. That's the 5th fewest in the league, courtesy of Thirsty Kyle. Thank you for that stat.
Yep.
And that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick likes to do, is throw the big deep play. So we'll see. I mean, don't you think Washington defense got a little bit embarrassed? I mean, I know it's their run defense that's stronger, but still, Josh Norman made mistakes last week. I have to believe that they're going to turn it up and have a better outing this week.
Maybe it's 4 games running now where they've struggled. 4 straight top 10s allowed. So I don't know. They've been, you know, Jekyll and Hyde so far. They started so great in pass defense. They've been bad. You know, who's the real Redskins defense? I guess we'll find out.
We could find out. I've got him as a top 10 play still.
Look,
but it's interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's just
and it's
fun
so
to have the argument. But bottom line is, we all think
But you know what else
started.
Is fun? Yeah. Having a bet that involves Ryan Fitzpatrick and Stan Sox. So, Mike Clay, you Mr. Projections Maestro.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
you're in the middle.
Yeah, I know. Because I just
join
like
one
the
of
socks.
Our teams. Yeah. You want to join one of our teams?
Yeah. So, if I'm on your side, do I get a pair of socks too? Daniel?
I will weigh in and say yes. You just have to pick a side, though.
Okay.
There's no
I picked
waffling.
Field side already.
You already
I know
said
that
it?
We're closer in a.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I know where we're going to end up on this.
Okay. By the way, so we have. I'm a little bit thrown off guard, but here, quickly, I'll tell you why in a second. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, I've got him at 10, you've got him at 3.
Okay.
Split the difference here. If he is a top 7 quarterback, you win. If he's not, I win.
Done.
Done?
Done.
Top
Pair
7 means
off.
He is 6 and above and 7
How about
below?
7's a push.
Okay.
8 and higher, me, 6 and lower him.
How about this? 7 is a push and Stefania still gets her socks because nobody wins.
There you go.
And then above that.
If it's 7, Stefania gets socks. If it's anything else, she gets no
she
socks.
She gets nothing. Yeah, sorry.
That seems fair to Stefania.
Okay, yeah, deal. That works. All right, that works. I like it. All right, Field, I think we're good.
Okay, good. There's a deal right there. We're going to take a quick break and come back with some breaking news.
Fantasy, you in the 06010. Fantasy focus.
All right, guys, and now a message from the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week.
This is Kevin, ZipRecruiter's Smartest Fan of the Week. If I had to do karaoke with one of the members of the 06010 cast, it would be Matthew Berry. Now, back to ESPN Deportes.
I don't quite understand that.
I think Matthew
a number of times has been like, oh, there's no way we're near as important as whatever. ESPN Deportes has this or ESPN whatever has this. So quick shout out to Kevin because that is the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week question that we're going to be answering at the end of the show. I'm going to tease this really quickly. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/fan, you can enter in for next week's Smartest Fan of the Week. The question is,
I get it.
If you were in jail and your only phone call had to go to a member of the 06010, which one are you calling and why?
Repeat that one more time.
If you are in jail and you have to use your only phone call in jail.
It's a lifeline.
You've got to call one of the members of the 06010. Which one are you calling and why? Are you calling Moneybags Matthew to be able to come down and bail you out? Are you calling down Stefania? I don't know what it is.
Wait to set it up for that not being the winner.
I mean, listen, it happens. I mean, what are you going to do? Maybe you call Mike Clay. Maybe he can work some numbers.
I'll make sure you're not hurt.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Field, why don't we keep on going with running back rankings? How does that sound?
Keep it rolling here with running back rankings, and we start with Kerryon Johnson, perhaps the greatest running back in the history of the NFL, at Chicago this week. No one reacted to that. At Chicago this week, Mike has him at 21. Stefania has him at 29. The Bears have been the best defense so far this season in terms of defending running backs. Make your case here for having him a little bit lower, Stefania. Or did I just make it for you?
I think you just made it for me. Like, I don't feel that strongly about it. I mean, I think we're all sort of in the same territory, right? I love the talent of Kerryon Johnson. I just get confused by the Detroit Lions running game. It's as simple as that. And they have, you know, Theo Riddick's their pass catcher. I never know if they're going to let Kerryon Johnson. You know, he's kind of like the free Aaron Jones part two. I mean, we've seen more of what Kerryon Johnson can do, but I don't feel like we've seen him rise to his full potential because he doesn't get the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, he did a little bit there, right?
Yeah.
While Riddick was out, and he looked good, right? Yeah, and this one was interesting to me because I'm highest on him. I have him at 21. You guys are 26 and 29. So I was like, all right, I have to make a case for Johnson. And as I dug into it, I started to talk myself out of it a little bit until I looked back at the rankings at running back and I was like, nope, I can't really, there's negatives on all these guys. Like he belongs as a fringe top 20 guy. But just a couple things here. Theo Riddick was back in the lineup last week. We saw him chip in. Most of his snaps did come in the backfield. They did use some two running back sets. Not a lot. They used a handful.
I saw that. There were a handful. I said maybe they used 4 or 5 and I feel like that was, you know.
Yeah, they close-ish. Seem like he's not going to play, you know, they're not really doing two running back sets. They're just using him in the slot a little bit in place of Golden Tate. So I'll give you a nod there.
I appreciate that.
However, even with Riddick back, he had 5 targets in that game. That's what we like to see. We also like to see 12 plus carries in 4 of his past 6 games. He's averaging 5.7 yards per carry this season. And this is the one that's most interesting, I think. He's finished 26th or better in fantasy points at running back in 5 of his past 7 games. So he's at least been giving you flex numbers. I know it's a tough matchup, but the volume's there, the efficiency's there, the passing game works there now. So I do think he's a strong flex option in 10-team leagues.
Yeah, I like him as well. I'm curious on this Bears defense. I really am. And I was listening to Ryan Russillo's podcast, The Dual Threat. He does a nice job with that. And of course, the Russillo pod talking about, like, he was sort of doing the college football playoff version with the NFL teams. Bears are an interesting team. Like, they're 5-3. They are what they are, right? But those 5 wins come against, like, less dominant teams. This will be an interesting test for them. I think the Lions have a chance to turn things around. I know everything sounds really bad right now and feels really bad to Lions fans, but It's never easy to win in the division. All right, moving along to Deion Lewis. We talked about the Patriots and the Titans a little bit earlier on. Mike, you and I are at 15. Stefan, you're a little bit lower. Is this a revenge game narrative, Mike? Is that why you're so confident?
No, I mean, we talked about him at length yesterday, right? And the reason I'm really intrigued by him now as a mid-pack running back, too, is his playing time. 59 snaps on Monday night. That was 84% of the snaps. So you think about the list of guys that play that many snaps. You know, even Todd Gurley doesn't right. generally get there. I mean, yeah. you know, that's super rare. So that's big time. That should continue going forward. He's out-snapped Derrick Henry in all but one game this season. He's out-carried him in two straight games, so he's getting the carries and a huge bulk of the targets in that offense. And by the way, he's finished exactly at RB8 each of his past two games. Yes, only two touchdowns so far. I think that number can go up going forward with a larger role. But he's 33 catches, even with sharing with Henry for a lot of the season.
And more than last year. The whole season.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's a very versatile back. He can catch the ball. He can run it. He's looked great out there, obviously. And the offense was, I mean, terrible. They were averaging one touchdown a game for most of the season. They seem to have turned it on the past couple of weeks with healthy tackles, with Lewis taking on a bigger role, healthier at wide receiver. Obviously, Jonnu Smith's got some experience. Mariota's healthy. It's starting to come together a little bit for that team.
Stefania, maybe some concerns, if I'm trying to think of reasons why you'd be concerned on Deion Lewis, would be a couple things. First of all, a lot of times rankings are done before the Monday Night Football game, so you have to adjust them after the fact. Peel the curtain back.
Yeah.
Second of all, the Patriots have this MO, right? Like, take what you do best and take it away. And for the Titans, I think if you were to devise the simplified plan, it's let Marcus Mariota beat us as a thrower, not him or Deion Lewis as a runner.
I agree. And if anybody knows Deion Lewis, it's the New England Patriots. They know how he works. I mean, he was their guy. And I think part of the reason that, he was their number one weapon in the run game, I would say, last year. I mean, James White getting an opportunity to shine now that Deion Lewis has moved on. But one of the concerns was whether he really could be healthy enough to be a feature back. And so you felt like when he was going to Tennessee, this role split would be ideal in terms of keeping him on the field. But that didn't work out. And I think to the detriment of both backs, to the detriment of both Lewis and Henry, now Lewis is the feature back. And, you know, as I look at it, and I was thinking up all my reasons why, and I look at the stats and I look at the trend over the last two games, and I probably need to come up on him a little bit. I also, like Field says, you look at the eyeball test of that Monday night game, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, Deion Lewis. And as somebody who rostered him in a couple of different leagues and got frustrated, that's probably biasing the rankings to some degree, because you just didn't feel like Tennessee was utilizing him the right way. He is limited in the scoring, but they've been limited overall in the scoring. He has certainly risen up, but four or five games before those last two games where he was in double digits, he had seven or fewer fantasy points. So I think it is a little bit of me slow to come around and slow to trust that they're really going to keep using him.
Well, sometimes things take time for us to feel like they've actually turned around in season. The question is, and this was the conversation yesterday, and I teed it up when I tweeted out the link to our conversation between Mike and I yesterday, is I said, it's Deion Lewis's backfield now in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of Titans fans. I think they might be actually Alabama fans who are just disgruntled with our analysis.
Henry apologized.
Henry.
Yes.
Football on offense is about dictating, and on defense is about reacting. And it's hard to dictate what you want to do when you're Derrick Henry, because his skill set's limited compared to Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis offers it all. And now that he's healthy, we know that in New England it was always managing his snaps, but they've done a nice job kind of uncorking him in Tennessee.
You know what else is, we forget about this again because you get away and you're focused on one week at a time, but think of the start of the season. Marcus Mariota wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense was a mess. I mean, you just alluded to that, you know, that they're finally getting in rhythm, and maybe they're just starting to see and learn who they are with their new head coach. I mean, it's like we haven't seen them get in sync, and maybe this is what they're going to start to look like in this second half.
Yeah, and really quick, sometimes you have to take a step back, too, if you can't figure out, like we were talking about with Washington, are they good, are they bad? Sometimes you step back and look at personnel, and I thought Tennessee was a top team in the AFC on paper coming into the season. That talent's still there. We're seeing it defensively. They're playing great. Offensively, they have a good line. They have some good weapons. We'll see how Mariota does in the second half. But also, the New England defense has, again, underrated personnel in the offseason. They made some savvy moves. They started slow again, which has become a trend. They've come around. There's a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and they're playing really well with some of their veterans coming around, like an Adrian Claiborne, for example, who's been doing a nice job in the pass rush. So they've, not to mention the McCourties and at corner, McGilmore's been terrific shadowing guys. They have a lot of terrific personnel. So that's something maybe to your side on Deion Lewis. Patriots D is starting to come around.
I feel like a couple more games and I'll be right there with you. It just hadn't gotten there yet.
I want to give a quick shout out to Alexander Olson, who just sent us a tweet, says, sitting here while in labor, listening to the Fantasy Focus podcast to keep focus off my contractions.
Wow.
Thank you to Matthew Berry, Daniel Dopp, Stefania Bell, and Phil Jace for always be entertaining.
Wow.
Alexandra is awesome. One. To her Twitter handle is at SexyBillsFan. I just can't help but notice that Mike was not mentioned anywhere in this tweet. does not live well with Bills Mafia. Just wanted to say that. But
that's fair.
Yeah.
Alexandra is the GOAT, and I just think that she's awesome.
The fact that she is like, first of all, shout out to you. May it be smooth and pain-free. That's what I wish for you, Alexandra. But the fact that you not only are listening, but that you're actually interacting and sending tweets. Like, I love you.
So good. So good. I just needed to get that in there real quickly before we went on to Wendell Smallwood.
No, she deserves the biggest of shout outs.
Congratulations. Like, I don't want to pressure you at all, but like, what would you guys say has been the iconic name of this podcast so far? Like, what player, like?
Squirrel, probably.
Tom Brady, a lot of Tom Brady conversation, Dez conversation so far. Like, no pressure, but this wonderful woman watching from the hospital should just name her child whatever. Like something to pay tribute to this podcast.
Lester. That's what I say.
Yeah. Lester. Future that's father-in-law, Lester. All right, Wendell Smallwood. Last one here, Mike, amongst running backs. You got him at 44 right now.
Yeah, I do.
Bitter Eagles fan right here.
I am an Eagles fan, and I'm clearly not biased, as you can see from my ranking and from my my reply column on Twitter yesterday after I said that Amari Cooper had a good matchup, even though everybody knows that watches the Eagles that it's a great matchup against that perimeter, those perimeter corners. But nonetheless, I'll talk about Wendell Smallwood. My concern here is mostly personnel deployment here in the backfield. I mean, yep. You have Corey Clement. You have Josh Adams, who I love. I think he's a terrific prospect. He'll make a name for himself in the NFL. He's been playing more snaps as of late. In fact, you look at the last game, 31 snaps for Wendell Smallwood. Josh Adams played 18. That was quite a bit for him, and he's trending up. Corey Clement played 13, and Josh Adams actually led the team with 9 carries in that game. Smallwood only had 8. Not to mention
Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles could be back in this game. And he will certainly take some of that passing game work away from Wendell Smallwood. So that's a problem. Not to mention that even without Sproles, Wendell Smallwood's weekly finishes since Jay Ajayi went down, 37th, 41st, and 21st. So a lot of issues in play. Not to mention the matchup. The Cowboys allowing 3.5 yards per carry to running back so far. That's third best. So matchup, committee. You know, he's played well. You know, I want Smallwood to pan out.
I know. He's had a couple of really nice games.
Not enough opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's too much of a confusion in that backfield. And you talk about consistency. That's what you look for in fantasy. You're going to run a guy out there and you have no idea whether it could be, you know, 1.2 fantasy points or he could, find himself in the end zone and all of a sudden it's a better day. But yeah, it's hard to get excited. I'm with you.
Yeah, I have him at 28, and part of it is just merely the idea that, like, of the 5 or 18 running backs that could be available for the Eagles on Sunday, and more realistic, it's going to be 4, Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, Josh Adams, and Darren Sproles, feels like he's the best bet to potentially score a touchdown, but that's about as far as I can go here. I might have to move him down a little bit, especially against a good Cowboys run defense. You ready for this, Daniel? You ready?
I am ready for this, although I got to say really quickly, @hazmat_23 said, did Stefania just out Mike for being lactose intolerant in her 23andMe read?
And I thought that was weird, violation? Too, because I am not lactose intolerant, so I don't know what happened.
How do you know?
But
have
here's
you
the real
done
question.
The test?
Is that a HIPAA violation? Like, that's what he needed to know.
No, I mean, look, I was just posing it out there.
Okay. All right. Field, you saw what Stefania threw down. Let's see if you can take the championship.
23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe health and ancestry service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you're likely to become lactose intolerant, and more. It's easy to do. You can simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit. Mail your saliva sample back to the lab and be analyzed. I literally spit accidentally when I was reading the word spit. My bad. Sleep reports are provided. The deep sleep report tells you if you are more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The saturated fat and weight report tells you, based on your genetics, how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet. It also offers tips on which foods to watch out for if you are trying to eat less saturated fat. The Lactose Intolerance Report sheds insight into how your genetics may affect your ability to digest dairy products.
Mike.
Order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/FFF. That's the number 23andMe.com/FFF.
All right, is there a circus in town or something?
I'm going to Hamilton today. I'm trying to get in spirit.
I have one criticism. All right.
Just
here's
one?
My criticism. I feel like I've heard all this before. Like, no new information. That's my criticism.
Oh, wow. Okay,
right?
I see what you're saying, Mike.
I mean, come on, Field.
Yeah.
Step it up.
Yeah, sorry about
I feel
that.
Like I've heard all this 20 minutes ago.
Let's move along here to the pass catchers and begin with T.Y. Hilton. Mike, just shed some insight into your wide receiver cornerback matchup at this time.
Jalen Ramsey's been in the league for two and a half seasons, really. Jacksonville's played the Colts four times during that stretch. He has shadowed T.Y. Hilton in all four of those games. In fact, you look a little closer at that, he's been on Ramsey on 104 of his 168 routes against the Jags. And on those plays, Hilton has 12 catches, 154 yards, and just one touchdown on 25 targets. Now, he did get away from Ramsey a few times, ended up with two touchdowns, 215 yards across those four games. But that's not great production. You know, that's like wide receiver three numbers. That's not certainly not fringe wide receiver one numbers. Jacksonville's second fewest fantasy points to receivers this season. And Jacksonville has not allowed a single wide receiver unit to finish better than 18th against them, which is incredible. As a group, they've shut down receivers. We know Ramsey is outstanding. He'll be on Hilton and probably 60 to 70% of his route. So certainly have to downgrade him. I think he's like a fringe top 20 play at best.
Can I have the breaking news drop, Daniel?
Yeah, you bet we can.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Mr. Adam Schefter tells us that Dez Bryant will sign with the New Orleans Saints on Thursday. The news that we discussed at the beginning of the show has come to fruition. Dez Bryant is now a New Orleans Saint. Your thoughts here, Mike, just to remind people what you said earlier on in this podcast.
Yeah, I think you scoop him up now. If waivers have cleared, go get him. Sign him now. Get him on your bench, certainly in 12-plus team leagues. If waivers have not cleared, put in a claim for a couple bucks. I don't think you have to go nuts here. Again, best case scenario, he's probably second in line in this offense, which is a great place to be. But most likely, it's going to be kind of a committee behind Kamara and Michael Thomas. So I think there's value to be had. He could certainly be a flex option going forward, so he's worth a pickup.
There you have it here. How about this? Dez Bryant back in the NFL. Who would have thunk it? So just to put the pin back in the T.Y. Hilton conversations, Stefania, you have a bit more confidence here despite the matchup against Jalen Ramsey.
I do. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, through the early part of the season was on pace for career lows. This has not been his best year. And Odell Beckham Jr. puts up 111 yards against the Jags. Travis Kelce, not a wide receiver, but a pass catcher, 100 yards against the Jags this season. So I think that T.Y. Hilton, I will not soon forget, Matt Hasselbeck, our Matt Hasselbeck, who is on NFL Sunday Countdown, telling me, I was talking with him after I had come back from Colts training camp this year, and he said in his career as a quarterback, the best receiver at tracking a deep ball that he ever threw a ball to was T.Y. Hilton. And so I think he can still have a very productive game. He had a good game against Houston this year, and they are fifth best in points allowed to wide receivers. He's coming off, you know, the bye this week, and the last outing we saw, he had really this bizarre sort of day against Oakland. But the week before that, against Buffalo, he had a really strong game. So I like T.Y. Hilton. I still think that he is semi-matchup proof. You know, I hear your stats. But I do think that the Jags defense of this year is not quite the Jags defense that he has faced before. And Andrew Luck is playing better now. He and T.Y. are getting back in sync. So,
yeah, well, and,
still a starter for
and,
me.
And to your defense, I'll say this. I just mentioned the four times they played each other. Hilton's been shadowed by Ramsey. Andrew Luck did not play in two of those games, of course, last season. So, I know Jacoby Brissett, I think, exceeded all our expectations. But he's not Andrew Luck. So, that's totally fair.
All right, moving along here to a couple more pass catchers. Randall Cobb, which introduces that Marquez Valdez-Scantling conversation from earlier.
MVS,
as we call it, makes things a lot easier here. You've got Randall Cobb all the way at 26 in your rankings this week, Mike. You think it's a clear edge between him and MVS for week 10?
I think it's close. I think going forward, I'd be a little more excited about Valdes-Scantling, as we talked about yesterday. But Cobb has been, you know, the safer play so far this season. And he had a big week one. We were all feeling good about him if we took him in the middle of rounds. He's really fallen off since then. He's had injuries. He hasn't really scored many touchdowns or had them explosive plays. But there are things to like and reasons to believe he could have a good second half. He's averaging 7.7 yards after catch, which is the best of his career. He's averaging 7.8 targets per game, 7.8 targets per game in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. That is a very promising number. And by the way, over the past 2 weeks since he's been back from injury, you know, we're talking all about Valdes-Scantling and what he's done. Well, Cobb is actually second on the team in targets. Davante Adams is 16, Cobb 12, Valdes-Scantling just 10. So not to mention the Dolphins on the road this season, allowing 30 points per game. I think, again, Green Bay being at home in this game, they need the win. Aaron Rodgers is playing fine. Cobb's been a big part of the offense. I think he'll be a perfectly good fantasy play. If there's one drawback at all I could think of, it's the matchup. I mean, Micah Fitzpatrick's done a nice job. He's been a good find for the Dolphins, and he covers the slot quite a bit. So that's the only negative I really have here.
I have a bit more confidence in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Mike just provided a lot of great evidence as to why Randall Cobb deserves to be ranked higher, most notably the target share is so much better. But the big play ability is really what I think breaks the edge here for me with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and wondering if maybe this team finds some time to, they just feel as though they need to shake it up a little bit right now. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been their second best wide receiver, I think, in some ways, over the past 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, look, all the time Randall Cobb missed because of a hamstring issue, I wonder if that doesn't play into the fact that he's not a big play guy right now. You know, and volume and things across the middle, I can see, you know, and certainly he's a preferred target for Aaron Rodgers. But when it goes to the big play ability, I think Valdes-Scantling has the edge right now.
We're doing some questions. Is that what you want? Do you want questions right now?
Yeah, I think we're going to do some Twitter questions, rapid fire style, like we did yesterday.
Bunch of them, right? Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to start with Keith. We'll go rapid fire on these. Go ahead and kick us off.
Short Circuit wants to know: is Dez signing with the Saints a plus or minus for Michael Thomas?
No value.
No, it doesn't affect him.
Irrelevant. Yeah. I don't think his share will change much.
Okay. Josh Douglas wants to know: T.Y. Hilton or Josh Gordon for the rest of the season?
It is close.
They might have two matches with the Jaguars, though.
I'm going to go Gordon because the Colts have the hardest fantasy schedule the rest of the season. So I will lean toward Gordon, but it is close.
Okay.
I feel like consistency in terms of targets, consistency, it's going to be T.Y. Hilton. But that last week, you know, I still probably want T.Y. Hilton just for consistency. I like the consistency.
And the way Gordon's playing would not surprise me if he had more targets than Hilton going forward, too. Just he's playing full-time role now.
He is.
Shock me.
I was a little bit confused. What was it that you like about T.Y. Hilton, Stefania? I just didn't catch that.
Are you being serious or sarcastic?
No, that was sarcasm, yeah. You just said consistency like 6 times. I just wanted you to.
I was being consistent.
Okay.
Well said.
Bye.
Well stated. I like
See
it.
Ya.
Yeah, stay out of this email segment, right? Or this Twitter segment.
Email. Look at this old man over here talking about email.
Let me crank up my email. He's reading faxes to us.
Mimeographs, please.
Russ has this. He sent in this from the Pony Express. He had to say, what are the keeper and dynasty outlooks for James Conner and Le'Veon Bell, assuming that Bell moves on, of course?
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about this before the show, right? It's kind of crazy to think that Bell's kind of a veteran, maybe has a few years left. He's 26 years old. James Conner, new, young guy, right? A rising prospect in the league, 23 years old. I mean, they're 3 years apart, so.
But 3 years in running back years is a lot of years because of the wear and tear, which is what the whole reason that we're here in the first place with Le'Veon Bell.
I would think if I were starting my dynasty or keeper ranks right now for running backs, it would be Todd Gurley and Saquon Barkley as 1 and 1A. With Alvin Kamara just behind them.
Zeke right there.
Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
Yeah, like
and
Gordon.
And then I guess Kamara, Gordon. Sorry, Gordon, McCaffrey, Connor, Bell.
It's
would
a
be
rich
right
spot
there.
Right now.
Yeah. It's a really good spot. Top 10 is what I would say for both of them.
Yeah,
I think they're both top 10, too.
Because we know where Connor's going to be.
I feel
right?
a little bit. I would rate Connor over Bell because I just think that it's wear and tear of the years that has taken a toll for me. And I actually think If Bell doesn't step on the field this year, his value to me goes up because, you know, it's the running back years you depreciate. It's like driving the car off the lot so fast. So for James Conner, only 1 year in the league, I like him better for Dynasty.
By the way, we dropped updated Dynasty rankings on Friday, and the one thing I regret is I was a little too low on Connor. So we need to fix that, Keith. Don't let me off the hook. I got to fix that this week.
Yeah, you should
be a little
fix
higher.
It right now, actually.
Right now, during
really
the show?
Bad.
Yeah.
Right, I'll hop on my non-existent computer and fix it right now.
If you were like feeling
I'll send you a fax with my changes.
Please do. That's okay. How I receive my things.
What else we got for the rapid-fire Twitter questions? Anything else?
Not so rapid-fire. Brittany Klinger wants to know, are you flexing Jack Doyle, Aaron Jones, or Leonard Fournette this week?
Aaron Jones for me.
Ooh, I have Jones and Fournette like two spots apart in running back ranks. I totally get it, though, if you want to go with Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I'm feeling more secure about his role with Fournette coming off the injury. We don't know if he'll be limited. Remember, it's not just him and Yeldon. They have Carlos Hyde
as well.
They can mix in. I feel good about Jones right now, just the way he's being utilized as a rusher and
recency
a receiver.
Recency bias. Hashtag recency bias.
Rob G wants to know, who would you keep and who would you trade? Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp?
Oh, come on. Throw him in a hat.
I mean, really, it's a toss-up any given week.
I don't know if I have an answer.
Would you trade either? I guess maybe. Would you just say keep them both?
I wouldn't. I would keep them both. Yeah. You know, it's funny because people ask questions a lot about like, are you uncomfortable playing two guys from the same team? A week ago, might have been last. I can't remember what week. Either last week or the week before, I played three guys from the same team, and I started off with 70-something points from those three players. Mm-hmm. Like. If it's a high octane offense like the Rams and you've got those guys, no problem. If you have Todd Gurley and one of the Rams wide receivers, no problem. Keep them all. Yep. Don't get rid of them unless you have needs.
My instincts say the Woods. I would a tiny edge, but I don't think there's a wrong answer.
I know we've talked about Golden Tate losing a little bit of value going to the Eagles. If you already rostered Alshon Jeffrey or Zach Ertz, would you see the move to try and move Golden Tate for someone in a similar situation where he is, or are you just rolling with both of those guys in that Philly offense? Can they sustain multiple pass catchers?
Oh, I don't have as much. I don't really have any concerns about none about Ertz. That's for sure. Especially the position he plays. Alshon not really as well. For Golden Tate, I have a really hard time assessing value to trade for or trade him away. Like, we haven't seen it, guys.
We haven't seen it.
We just haven't seen it. It's
I
hard.
Just feel like the only thing I feel out of that trade is that it hurts Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
The only thing that I feel like confident in saying. Without seeing what happens going forward.
Yeah, I have no problem fielding offers on one of them, just because if Wentz goes down, I mean, you know, I know Nick Foles' backup quarterbacks go is great, but you're still going to take a pretty strong hit to your championship chances, so I have no problem at least fielding offers, but it's not like you just give them away.
Nick Foles isn't even the best backup Nick in the NFL. Am I right or am I right, Stefania?
He's actually, a starter now.
Actually, yeah, so. He might be because Nick Mullins.
Oh,
you're right. Sorry, my bad.
I mean, we should have included it in the news and noise because it sure as heck isn't noise. It's news. Nick Mullins is your Monday Night Football starter for the 49ers. I'll be there.
Wow. Yeah.
That was a nice little humble brag right there by Stefania. What else you got for us, Keith? Nice.
Got two more for you. At Fail You Again wants to know, would you trade Keenan Allen or Dalvin Cook?
Wait, was that Fail You Again?
Yes.
Yeah.
At Fail You Again.
Wow.
So here's my thing on these questions. Like, who would you rather trade? Why would you want to trade good players?
It's got to be because you have a need, right?
Yes,
you must have a
precisely.
Need somewhere
if
else.
If you have a need out of those two players, I'd rather trade Dalvin Cook for two reasons. One, he has a bye this weekend, so you're getting an extra week of utility out of Keenan Allen. Two, just because he was healthy last week, he's been dealing with something that could nag for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Yeah,
correct.
I think Cook's all probably, I would probably lean slightly towards Cook going forward in terms of if we were drafting today, but it's close. I mean, and that assumes Cook's healthy, but it's close
Which
enough that it depends on your roster needs.
And the last one from Ed Furster wants to know, who would you rather have for the rest of the season, Tom Brady or Matt Ryan?
This is the same one we got at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very Matthew-like. Yeah.
He didn't answer his beeper yet, so he didn't know.
Oh, did we answer that question? Sorry, we were talking back
here.
I asked
Daniel, I said, did we do that? And he says, no, I don't think so. I said, we'll do it at the end.
It's all right. I could see you didn't get the memo. The fax machine's still like right in the line, so you didn't get
telegraphs take a little longer.
Yeah.
We only got a 28.8 modem.
Carrier pigeon hasn't landed yet.
We all agree, Thomas Furster, we'd go with Matt Ryan. All right, time for the ZipRecruiter question of the week.
Yeah, or the ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week. Even.
Okay, my bad.
But we could do, the question for that is, if you could sing a karaoke duet with one member of the 06-0-0, who are you choosing and what song are you performing?
Let's hear more about it.
Boy.
Here we go. There's a bunch of them. First one comes from Sam. I'm going to go rapid fire. We've got them on a sheet in front of you guys so you can see them as we go through it. First one is Sam. Obviously, I would pick the 0610's resident hip-hop aficionado, MC Stefania B. We would proudly wear our favorite sleeveless hoodies and rock the mic to Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight. If we are lucky enough, we will get an assist on the ones and twos with DJ Mike Clay repping Philadelphia, home of some of the best DJ in hip-hop.
Philadelphia. So good.
All right, well, Sam mentioned me, so that's a winner right there.
All right, next one comes from Matt Neese. There are many songs that would suit Matthew Berry, like Offspring's Pretty Fly for a White Guy or Weird Al's White and Nerdy as examples. However, for my money, no song more exemplifies a person than the Right Said Fred song, I'm Too Sexy for Field Yates. The lyric, I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts, just says it all.
Got my winner.
That's right. And, you know, Field doesn't wear a shirt often because he's too sexy.
That's
for
right.
It,
so that's accurate. Go. This one comes from Jen Mathias. All of these entries being read have been dudes. It's time for some females to be represented. So, of course, I'd select Stefania Bell and we'd sing some girl power song. Maybe Girls Just Want to Have Fun or maybe Spice Girls. Oh, and you know what? Even though she's not an official member, Beth Berry has to join us for the trio.
Okay, nice. That is right there. Yeah. And so far, that is my favorite because, you know, we're
the
bringing
Spice Girls
Beth
are coming
in the
back
mix.
On the tour next year, too.
No way. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Timely, relevant, accurate.
All right. Next one comes from Trevor. He says, I would choose Not Cool Keith. Blissful tears would fall as we sang At Last by Etta James because at last Cleveland has finally found their quarterback.
Oh, I see what you did there. That's but it's not, bad. But I love, like, Etta James doing At Last is one of the most so iconic performances ever. Not sure you want to do karaoke. I'm not sure you want to touch it.
You do not do karaoke songs to things you cannot top.
Yeah.
Or even come close to matching.
That was right. Fair.
And I would cry and not make it through it anyway.
Right, right. So.
This one says, from Scott Weinbaum, although it would be a shame not to be able to hear TMR flex those beautiful pipes, the answer is Secret Squirrel because he's the only member of the 0610 familiar with the deep track Hot Dog Sandwich by the obscure band you've never heard of, Assertion.
Oh my God, that's so good. It's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
For a second, I thought it was an actual song.
I thought it was an actual.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
This one comes from Jeff Oakey.
Okay.
He would want to hear
Oakey.
Okey.
Okay. Like karaoke?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Or like an Okey casket for a nice mead.
Okey Joe's, good barbecue spot in Kansas City.
Says Matthew Berry, No More Words by Berlin. And I think it's just a play on the fact of like No More Words.
Right.
Get it?
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
This one comes from Jared Beasley. Again, the question is if you could sing a karaoke duet with one member of the 0610, who are you choosing and what song are you performing? Growing up, I was in love with Boy Meets World. One moment always stood out to me was when Corey and Topanga sang War for karaoke. So I would like to act out this scene with Stefania.
Oh my God.
Stefania, who could easily pass for Topanga, and while I may not be a great Corey, this is my dream, so who cares? Stefania, will you please be my Topanga for just one song?
That's high praise.
Wow, that's high praise. I don't deserve it. Actually, true story. When Field and I were in Chicago for the fantasy football convention, I had dinner with Adam Amin, our awesome play-by-play announcer, and we are in the restaurant. And you know, it's a little bit later, and there's a few people dining around. It's a steakhouse out near where I was staying, and in comes a group and. Adam's head turns and he's like, oh my God, it's a cast from Boy Meets World.
Stop it.
And he was like, Topanga. Like he was so excited. They went and sat at this other table and got up and we're done. And he's like, I'm going to be that guy. And he just went over. He's like, hey, I just want to say hi. I don't want to interrupt you.
Huge fan, yeah.
But they were like, oh, they were super nice. But yeah. And no, I couldn't pass for Topanga.
Oh, yeah. please.
Just our,
I say you
not
could.
True. They are doing a reunion. That's what they That's were all true. Together for, yep. They told us.
All right, this is the last one. Comes from David. It's a no-brainer. I'm putting his bad boy good looks to use and choosing Field to sing I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Contest over.
Just imagine the two of us taking center stage, serenading Chapin, Stefania, and all of their girlfriends in the front row with Secret Squirrel, the bad boy, Thirsty Kyle, the shy one, and Mike Clay, the one who looks like everyone's dad, in the background, nailing the choreographed dance moves. Matthew is pouting in the corner because he wasn't asked if he wanted to dance in the background, but all great boy bands have only five members, not six. I'd even go as far as to say, and I would bet a pair of Stance socks on this, that Field already has the lyrics memorized to I Want It That Way by
you
the Backstreet
my fire,
Boys.
My one desire.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my gosh, stop!
There were some really good ones that were in here.
That actually was really good too.
I love those.
Good job by the listeners.
Good job by the listeners this week.
Yep.
Good job, quick recap.
Sam had Stefania with the rapper's Delight. Matt had Field with I'm Too Sexy. Jen had Stefania and Spice Girls with a cameo from Beth Barry.
That was pretty good.
Trevor had Not Cool Keith singing At Last. Scott had Secret Squirrel with the hot dog sandwich by Assertion. Jeff had Matthew doing the instrumental version of No More Words by Berlin. Jared, Stefania, and the Boy Meets World. And last one, David, with Field and I Want It That Way.
So I still believe that we need to have some girl power in here, which is why I am going to give my vote, despite the excellent effort from David at the very end with I Want It That Way, to Jen voting for Stefania playing Spice Girls with Beth Barry.
Well, thank you. Yeah, let's hear it for a female fan of the week.
Let's do it.
Love it. Jen, you are the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
We will email you.
Congratulations, Jen.
Fantastic. And again,
I can't wait to tell Beth that she's part of a Spice Girls reunion tour.
Yeah.
I know.
ZipRecruiter.com/fan. Again, this week's question is, if you were in jail, you had to use your only phone call to call one member of the 06010. Who are you calling and why are you calling them?
Love it. We are back. I'm yawning. We are back on Thursday. Des Bryant's back in the NFL on Thursday. Stefania B87 on Instagram. Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. Mike Clay NFL on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Field Yates. Talk to you Thursday.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
Guys, go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make happen.
Mediocre